Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Hope you've had an awesome week and you're winding down to the weekend. The time has come to talk about the F word. No, not that F word. Failure, I'm talking about. No matter who you are or what you do, that word usually has the power to strike fear. If you suspect you're already failing in your life or your work, for example, you're not where you thought you would be at this point, or you've experienced setbacks, that can be incredibly intimidating. It may keep you from shaking off bad habits and picking up new ones that would get you in a better place. This is especially true in your career. It can be super easy to fall into an inertia bubble and then find yourself shrugging helplessly when you know it's time to get out. Hey, did you just type, "I hate my job," in a search engine? When your job feels hopeless, deflating, and inescapable, it's a horrible feeling. And like anything, jobs ebb and flow. Every day cannot be perfect. Some weeks, months, or even entire years will be particularly challenging at times. However, as the person in the driver's seat of your career, you know when things aren't right. You likely know the difference between a bad week and or an overall toxic situation. It's time to examine where you are in your current job, whether or not you can improve your work situation, or if you need to start the process of looking for your next career opportunity. So today, let's explore a few reasons why you might hate your job. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show, Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. Today is episode 29, Is Your Job Failing You? Do You Hate Your Job? I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter, and my background is I'm no stranger to wearing high-vis workwear and getting down and dirty in the grease and the coal dust. My passion and purpose is to reinforce confidence, support and encourage more women to kick off their heels and tap into their steel caps and to consider pursuing these non-traditional roles and careers as I share my knowledge, career experiences and understanding of the industries. So here we are on the radio show. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. And a huge shout out to all my fellow women working out on track and or on site today, all over the globe. Stay safe, ladies, and have a fantastic day or night shift. And this might also be a good time to mention that the radio show does and may contain adult language. Let's get into it. So we said, is your job failing you? Work is hard. But sometimes it seems like everything is going your way. You catch yourself getting into the groove. You know which gym to email about your computer issues. Yes, not the GM gym. Or how to use the printer without asking, or when to sip your drink during those awkward dinner or night outs with your co-workers moments. One day, though, you stumble. It starts with something small. You notice a few little errors in your emails. You may have spoke too quickly during a team meeting, whatever. But it causes you to feel a little nervous because you can't possibly be crushing your job and be socialising on social media and do your washing 2 weeks in a row and find time for brunch with the girls. Adulthood doesn't work like that, with everything always working out perfectly. So you continue to put pressure on yourself to be absolutely perfect. Because what other option is there? Until a small mistake turns into a seemingly huge one. Your weeks become consumed with this horrible feeling of, I hate work, I can never go back, how can I call in sick? The Sunday night scaries happen every night of the week. You feel like you're walking on eggshells when you arrive at your work. How do you handle those moments when work feels like it just isn't working? Take a breather. You'll be okay. Seriously, take a minute to breathe and cut yourself some slack. It's not the end of the world if you couldn't figure out how to complete that task in 5 minutes your boss gave you. And you wouldn't be here if you weren't good at your job, right? So reflect on those times when you did do something right. If you can't remember any of those times, start a journal or a document, and you know I love them, where you can collect all of the nice things people say to you. I swear, it does help. Even though it seems like something small, in the moments when you're fighting back tears at your desk or in the office, in the ladies' room, in the lunchroom, in the cab of your machine or in your car, skim a little through the compliments. Promise you'll feel a tiny bit better. Think about the bigger picture. I know this moment feels like you'll never recover, but will it really matter tomorrow, in a week, next year? Probably not. Even though right now this slip up feels like the most defining moment of your career, take a step back, put it in context. Remember, your boss or your co-worker or your client, they have other and bigger things going on than you. They will forget. I know it feels like they never will, but it'll happen. And hey, if it makes you feel better, I cried at work the other day to my boss about something just absolutely stupid, but I couldn't help it because in that moment, I felt like I messed everything up. And it made me realize I will never be perfect. There are going to be times where I mess up, and I have shitloads of times, even at a job I really enjoy and love. Work is not school where you aim to get 100 out of 100 on a test. Work feels like you have to get 100 out of 100 every day. It's just not possible. So forgive yourself for a minute. Assess your situation. Okay, but what if it actually is that bad? What if every single moment you feel like someone is holding you down or preventing you from being your best self? When I got back to my console, I wiped my sniveling running nose so no one would notice and went about my day. But I couldn't stop thinking about how terrible I felt and that I cried at work about such a stupid bloody mistake. I've been there too. I've been so frustrated and confused with navigating the politics of a workplace where I just wanted to walk out and, you know, give them the finger. I ached to never come back and say good riddance. Anything felt better than being right there. That's when I knew it wasn't just a shake it off and move on type of scenario. I couldn't just dust myself off and keep going because every day there, working there, was sucking the life out of me. I knew after assessing my situation, I had to get the hell out. What I'm saying is you have to know when to draw the line, and it's different for everyone. And quite frankly, it's a very difficult thing to do. But don't become numb to these moments. Work shouldn't be awful. So if it feels like work isn't working more often than not, make a move. Don't get stuck. No one should spend 80% of their life dreading their shift start time. All in all, as I've progressed in my current career, woohoo, 8 years down, I've slowly come to realise that sometimes work is work. It's not going to be rainbows and butterflies and beer in the office, kitchen and cash rewards for doing a great job all the time. For some reason, when I entered the working world all those many moons ago, I had this insane fantasy that it would be, that I would love every moment of every day. How wrong was I? But even though work can be challenging at times, it should mostly be a time when you're growing, learning, and having a bit of fun along the way. Okay, let's take a little break, listen to a tune, and I'll be back with you soon.
Hi, I'm Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. As a woman working in industry, I want to share my knowledge and experience and industry know-how to support you if a change in your life is what you are looking for. Join me on my radio show, Kick-Ass Radio, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. across Australia or on Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. in the US. What are you waiting for? Go on, get your glow on.
If you find your job easy enough, you might just glide by when nobody is directly challenging you, when you have a fairly unchallenging quota to meet, or when your job is overly easy, you might be completely willing to go with the flow. On the opposite end of the spectrum, you might be itching for new opportunities. If you've reached out to leadership with new ideas and you've communicated your willingness to learn and grow, but only to be met with silence or empty promises, you may have reached a stagnancy plateau. And I'm going to talk about, well, more about burnout later, but prolonged stagnancy can lead to a particular type of burnout, under-challenged burnout. And this is where you are bored day in and day out, and it can lead to a lowered mood and even depression in the long run. So what to do? I think your career should always challenge and excite you, at least a little. No, I don't believe your career should be your life's purpose, but it should be something that motivates you. Your career should be something you're proud of at some level. No matter your job title, there is always creativity to be found. In any job and in any career, if you find yourself punching in and robotically moving through your day before punching out, you're stagnant. Find some ways to infuse creativity into your job. Are you a master organizer? Maybe you can reorganize some of your work systems. Have you been itching to show off your design skills? Perhaps you can zhush up your next meeting presentation or your notes or a report or the office or your workstation. If you don't feel inspired to even try to breathe new life into your current job, maybe breathe life into your career by looking for opportunities that excite and motivate you. The next is, you know, toxic work environments breed unrest, competition, low morale, constant stresses, negativity, sickness, high turnover, and even bullying and harassment. Now, true to their name, toxic workplaces end up poisoning your professional life and your personal life. How does it feel? In a word, it feels horrible. It takes very little for a workplace to become toxic. Once a company becomes toxic, it will infest every crevice of the organization. Why does it happen? Look, I've seen toxic workplaces. Some organizations are founded on a greed or me first kill or be killed mentality and are toxic from day one. Other companies have good intentions that fall to the side in favor of money, production, and or power. And sometimes a workplace becomes toxic due to one single employee. It's wild to behold, and it takes forever to clean up a mess like that. And once it gets hold of an organization, toxicity is relentless. What do? Get out. Get the hell out of Dodge. Next is, what if you're suffering from workplace burnout? Now, there's so much to do that you're constantly in a dizzying haze. When was the last time you even had a moment to speak with your friends? How does it feel? Burnout can feel three very specific ways, depending on the type of burnout you're experiencing. And we are all likely pretty familiar with frenetic burnout. Worn out burnout is the type of burnout experienced by employees who are constantly overworked without any positive outcomes or recognition. Similarly, frenetic burnout is the burnout that employees who work in high pressure environments feel over a long period of time. And why does it happen? Burnout happens because your job is asking too much of you. And burnout happens because this cycle is continuous and it starts to take from your personal life, your relationships, and eventually your overall well-being. What do you do? If you enjoy the function of your job, when you generally like your boss, and when you love your co-workers, burnout might be the culprit. Is there a way to better balance your work life with the rest of your life? Can you work in a flexible schedule, cut your hours, or ask your boss for more support? What about when your confidence is dwindling? When you first started a job, your confidence was soaring. You killed the interview process and you were ready to take your career to the next level. Fast forward 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. All of a sudden, it feels like you have run out of confidence. You've run that race. Do you just suck at your job? Of course not. But how does it feel? It feels bad. When your job is hurting your confidence, say you might arrive to work always feeling like you're in trouble. You might find that your Sunday scaries start at 3 p.m. on a Saturday. And why does it happen? See, every other item on this list that we're talking about, your confidence could be dwindling because your boss only gives you negative feedback. Your confidence could be lacking because you're overworked and underappreciated. Your confidence might be taking a hit because your job is taking time and energy loan against your personal life and your emotional well-being. What do you do? When your job is whittling at your well-being, you might be in a toxic workplace. If your co-workers are rude, your boss is dismissive, and you're given no direction, it can be easy to feel lost, hopeless, and silly. But that's not the case. You need to try speaking with your leadership about what you can be doing better, how to keep communication open, and how you can collaborate most effectively. See how it feels to be straightforward about your needs while listening to theirs. Be open to constructive feedback. That's a positive learning step. Alternatively, your confidence might be taking a hit because you're letting it. Yep, affirmative. There she is. Tall poppy slash imposter syndrome. For someone who is never invited to the party, tall poppy imposter syndrome surely intercepts every invitation. If your confidence is lacking simply because you feel you're surrounded by smart, driven people, then you're actually in the right place. No, really, you are here for a reason because you're smart and driven too. And what about if there's been an uncomfortable change in leadership? This is our very generous way of saying something else, which is, I hate my boss. Listen, it happens. All leaders are not created equally. Sometimes you and your manager or your supervisor will have personalities that simply do not mesh. Other times, your boss might be a full-on jerk, we'll say, full stop. How does it feel? Now, I'm using the word hate pretty liberally here, but I don't mean to. It's just that when you feel so frustrated with your boss or your leadership, you probably are using that four-letter word, likely alongside of some other choice four-letter words that I use quite often. In short, hating your boss doesn't feel good at all. You spend 40 plus hours at work or working alongside your boss. If you are not aligned, it can be a serious stressor. When you see your boss's name hit your inbox, you just roll your eyes and your heart rate quickens and then your palms start to sweat. This is not a way for you to live. The stress of immensely disliking your boss is going to eat you and your work alive. Why does it happen? And this can be happening for a variety of reasons. It's possible that the two of you don't work well together, that your boss communicates poorly, or that your boss is disrespectful, abusive, or inept. What do you do? Now, there are a few avenues you might take depending on the situation. If this is a relationship that can be salvaged, try suggesting a one-on-one with your manager. Communicate your feelings of disconnect and come with solutions too. That's the number one thing. If you have a problem, you need to present a solution. And this is managing up, wherein you do the legwork to improve your collaboration with your boss. If your boss is abusive or engaging in seriously questionable practices, it might be time to take the situation to HR. If your boss is HR, it might be time to move on entirely. How about if your work is overlooked and undervalued? Now, work can be busy. Before you know it, another year has gone by and it feels like you've accomplished nothing, except you know that's not true. In fact, you've accomplished so much. The problem is that you've received no positive feedback, recognition, or opportunity for advancement. How does it feel? Maybe you're not the type of person who needs positive feedback at every turn. However, when you receive none, or when you only ever receive negative feedback, it can start to drain your confidence reserve. It's a slow burn, but it does exist. And this also happens when you're constantly overworked, you're given new projects and tasks, and when you're being generally taken advantage of. And this often happens to high-performing employees who can turn work over quickly, efficiently, and error-free. But why does it happen? It's likely a leadership problem. It's your manager's job to manage their team, in good and bad. Your manager should be giving your positive feedback and praise alongside the constructive feedback. And this can also be a cultural problem across the entire organisation, which is way more damaging. This is common in high-pressure environments where there is a no time for praise. So what do we do? You have to communicate your frustration in these circumstances. You might request your annual review where you can realign your job responsibilities and your output. It also might be a time to ask for a pay increase. If your job description aligns with a new position with way more responsibilities, it's time to ask for that advancement, both in your title and in your remuneration. How about when your values no longer align? Now, this is a common occurrence as we progress in our careers, but it can be hard to identify in the moment. Your values will shift over time, and your workplace may or may not be able to meet you where you are now or in the near future. And how does that feel? Well, as I said, this is a tougher one to identify, which is also why it's also super deflating. When your values no longer align, the career you loved doesn't feel familiar or right anymore. Why does it happen? Well, when you started your job, you loved it. It was your so-called dream job when you entered, 3 years ago. However, things have changed. You're not so much about the work hard, play hard feel anymore. You don't want to spend 60 plus hours at work or with the team. So what do we do? This is likely a company culture thing. As your career progresses in an organization whose values feel increasingly misaligned with your own, it might just get worse. So, for example, if you're feeling that work-life balance is much more work-focused at your organization, it will likely be even more so as you climb the ladder of advancement. At this point, take time to make a list of your own values and your goals. And next to that list, you know I love lists, create a list of your organization's values and demands. And if there's an opportunity to realign, then take the positive steps to do so. If you find that your values have become completely misaligned, start looking for opportunities within the organization that fit your current values and future aspirations. And what about when you feel helpless to make changes? Now, this is one I struggle with all the time. You may not think you're helpless per se, but maybe you just feel overwhelmed by daily minutiae and you feel like staying afloat is all you can accomplish. If you're managing only what comes your way, you're troubleshooting rather than improving. What do we do about it? Realize that you do have a say in your daily life, even at work where things might seem very regimented or non-negotiable. If you want to take more agency and control in your life, it starts with you. Learn to advocate for yourself and negotiate what you want. And you'll be surprised at what you can get if you learn to ask for it in the right way. How about when you're too busy blaming other people? I'd be much further along if Susan wasn't getting all the attention and the good work tasks. I'd be making more money if Frank paid more attention to what I'm doing. I'd have a better job if I weren't, for my parents and what they wanted. What do you do about it? You do you. Your career is yours and yours alone. This means that ultimately your decisions are your responsibility. Not your cats, not your parents, or your therapist, or your friends. It's time to stop blaming and instead start thinking about what it would take for you to get what you want. That pay rise, the good work projects, the job you want. Blaming others takes up a lot of mental energy, which you should instead be using to do an internal audit of why things aren't working out the way you want and what steps you can take to make progress. What about when you're settling for a mediocre status quo? And this is especially insidious kind of failure. You're comfortable enough, you have a job that pays your bills, but you're not really going anywhere. It's settling for the good enough right now at the expense of what is good for you in the future. What do we do about it? Do things that scare you a little, within reason. You don't have to go busting every piece of your status quo right now, but if you start by doing one thing every week that is outside your comfort zone, you'll likely find that status quo expanding around you. Take on a project that is a bit of a stretch. Take a class in a new skill. Apply for that REACH job. If you find yourself hesitating, ask yourself why and what you have to lose if you go for it. And if the answer isn't it's physically dangerous or this will cause maybe a divorce, then consider moving forward with it after all. How about if you don't have the resources or education, or if that's an excuse you're using? If you avoid applying for jobs because you don't have the necessary skills, experience, or education, that feeling of failure may creep in while you're browsing job openings. It's hard not to feel like a failure if all you can see are closed doors. What do you do about it? Upskill. Take a class. Go for a new certificate or certification. Just may not be it, and it may not be feasible for everyone, but there are often ways to get around the traditional going back to school full time, say, or going to uni. But for skill building, you've got lots of free and inexpensive or inexpensive courses that you can take in your own time. And there are also many other opportunities that offer part-time programs or non-degree courses online. So there are so many ways to stay academically active and keep learning even when time or money is tight. How about when we avoid hard truths? Facing reality is hard. That's why we have 8 million things to distract our attention at any given time. Videos, TV, social media, we all have ways of decompressing and avoiding reality for a while. Those are all temporary, though. Ultimately, you'll have to think about new and different ways of doing things or facts that make you uncomfortable. If you've been avoiding thinking about your professional future because it might lead to uncomfortable realizations about the choices you've made and the ones you will need to make in the future, then you're setting yourself up for failure. What can you do about it? It's time for a little self-audit. Where are you in your career? What's keeping you in it? And where do you want to be in 5 years? Now, this is an exercise just for you. No one else will see or judge it. So it's important to be extremely honest about what you have and what you want. How about when we think we're too old to make changes? We often pick our career paths pretty early in life, and it's based on what we want to study, you know, or what we come out of school studying and went into university with, or what we think we'd be good at doing when we're 18. And think about it. How well do many of the life decisions you made when you were 18 still hold up? How many of your hobbies and interests are the same? You're not locked into a career that you chose because it seemed like a good idea at the time. As you change, you're never too old to change your professional path and career. What do we do about it? If you feel stuck in a path that doesn't interest you anymore, think about making a change, no matter how significant. Think about what it is you want to be doing and start doing real research into what it would take, like education, certification, or upskilling. These are all things you can work on in the meantime before you make any big moves. We come back to failure. Our fear of failure, it pins you down. Failing because you fear failure. Is that even a thing? Bloody oath it is. It's possible to back right into failure while you're on guard against it, avoiding risky changes or proactive steps that could result in failing. This kind of failure is sneaky because it comes right from the place you thought you were watching. What do we do about it? Don't be afraid to be bad at something or to make a bad decision once in a while. Failure can actually be one of the greatest learning experiences, painful though it may feel in the meantime. But by letting fear of failure paralyze you, it can kill your career progress. Your professional life thrives on both your successes and your failures. How about when we overestimate our abilities? Here's a bit of full disclosure. If I ever wanted to be a ballet dancer, I couldn't because I'd be the biggest klutz ever on my toes. And I don't have the right body, or didn't have the right body type at the time. And I had very few ballet skills. But if I expected to be a ballet dancer at that point in my life, all those years ago, I'd be making a fatal assumption that I could be one in these day and times. It's one thing to be confident in the abilities you have, but another thing entirely to be confident that you'll be good at something without the education or skills to back it up. This kind of mindset lets you get comfortable in the idea that you don't need to learn or do new things because you're the best the way you are. What do we do about it? Embrace your strengths and work on your weaknesses, but I say improve on your strengths more so. And accept the need to be realistic about what you can do. And I'll never be a ballet dancer. What about when we're not setting realistic goals? If you're not planning your career in a realistic way, of course you're going to feel like a failure. You set it up that way yourself. Going from entry level to the GM in 2 years was never going to happen. What do we do about it? We go back and it's time to set up our SMART goals. Remember, they're specific, measurable, achievable, and relevant and time-based. Setting these career goals both in the short term and the long term, so 12 months and our 5-year term, will help you make progress that you can quantify. There are lots of apps and tools you can use to help you. But don't underestimate the power of a good old-fashioned checklist and the smug, well-earned sense of satisfaction you get as you check something off that list. I love checklists, remember. If you feel like you're failing, it's never too late to stop. Figure out why and start taking concrete steps out of the muck. Understanding why you're failing is the most important first step you can take. Okay. Let's hear a quick word from one of the show's fabulous sponsors, and I'll be back with you soon.
Hi, Glowgetters. We're Brenjo's Earth Moving, a professional earth moving business specialising in a range of infrastructure works across a variety of industries, located in Mackay, Queensland. Here at Brenjo's, we're a family-owned company backed by an incredible team. We've seen firsthand the incredible benefits that come from promoting and supporting a diverse workplace. We're so proud to be sponsoring Kick-Ass Radio and Kick-Ass Women's Mission to support women entering into non-traditional roles and careers.
Okay, so we're back into it. So what to do when you feel like you are failing at work? There's no way to sugarcoat it. You hate your job. Your stomach is in knots every single Sunday night, like we say. You walk into the workplace and often feel like you're trudging through cement. And a sledgehammer seems like the only suitable way to silence your alarm clock each morning. At least you'll be able to get some of that pent-up aggression and hostility out. First of all, I'm sorry. Your career is a huge part of your life, and when it doesn't leave you feeling fulfilled and satisfied, it can have a pretty big negative impact on your overall outlook and attitude. It's hard to leave that frustration at your workplace when the clock strikes 5 or 6 at the end of your shift. If you're trying to be proactive about your situation, I'm willing to bet that you've read your fair share of advice about what to do when your career makes you miserable. And I'm also willing to bet that much of that advice told you the same thing over and over again, like I have. Get out if it's that bad. It's a well-meaning instruction, and I actually won't even try to refute it again. After all, if your position truly has you clenching your fists and grinding your teeth, it's probably smart to start looking for something else. But let's face it, we don't all have the luxury to pack our bongos and wave goodbye to our supervisors whenever the going gets tough. However, like we said, if it's actually making you that mentally stressed out, you need to have a think about it. So if you're anything like me, you typically get to the end of that well-intentioned advice and think, okay, but what else? Yes, perhaps you really are working on looking for a new gig. But when you do eventually move on, you want to do your best to make sure it's something you're truly excited about. You don't want to jump from the frying pan straight into the fire, so to speak. You're being selective and taking your time. That means you need to stick it out in this miserable position for at least a little longer while, even though you're desperate for any advice that helps make that process a bit easier. Well, look no further. I'm going to give you 5 things later on to kick off your heels and do that don't involve storming out of the office. But let's face it, failing sucks. And lately, I seem to be doing it more than usual. Okay, that's a little bit dramatic. The truth is that I'm making more mistakes than I like to, and people I work with are pointing them out. I have a teensy tendency towards perfectionism, so my tolerance for errors is pretty kind of low. But for any of us, though, the uptick in mistakes is pretty understandable. Our work lives are moving super fast, but the demands aren't easing up. The urgency and pressure can make us more error-prone, and that in turn creates more stress. When you make mistakes, your power and confidence take a hit, but learning to deal better with breakdowns and failures can help you regain power and get your feet back under you. It can help you deal with a failure without thinking you are one. So before you can learn to deal with failure and breakdowns, however, you need to take a closer look at what happens when you're face-to-face with them. A breakdown is an interruption in what you thought was going to happen. Things don't go the way you thought they would. You get feedback from an unsatisfied client who is taking their business elsewhere, or you get an unhealthy report on your performance review from your supervisor. You're over budget. These things typically cause anxiety, fear, or some other unpleasant reaction. And there are also some things you instinctively want to protect yourself against. So in an article called Teaching Smart People How to Learn, it says there are 4 things we try to avoid when experiencing a breakdown. And they are embarrassment, threat, feeling vulnerable, and feeling incompetent. And to be sure, all of these things are worth avoiding. We just don't always notice right away that that's what we're doing. We have to recognize this inner urge and then retrain ourselves to stop defaulting to an unhealthy response like blame or defensiveness. It's essential for being able to fail fast, to get back up and get going again. And then we've got to reflect, admit, apply, and repeat. So a man says to his therapist, "I've just gotten fired for the 7th time in the last 5 years. I'm having trouble with my wife and I've already been divorced 3 times. I desperately need you to help me understand. Why are there so many screwed up people in the world?" Now, that is a perfect example of non-productive reasoning. Productive reasoning, on the other hand, can help you learn from your failures so that you can deal with future mistakes more productively. So here's a 3-step process to help you engage in productive reasoning. Self-reflect about what you are holding as the truth, what you don't know enough about, and what's your part in the breakdown may be. To the degree that you are willing, share this with your co-workers and or your supervisor as a way of taking accountability for your part. Apply what you learn together and owning your part in what happened. Consider how you may have contributed to what happened. Do I ask questions in a way that closes down discussions? I don't delegate very well. I get involved in things that I shouldn't. I was defensive and engaged my self-protective strategy. I don't say no enough because I don't want to let people down. Now, it may be hard work to see your part, but keep looking and above all, keep leading yourself there. Great employees and leaders maintain solid skill and ability no matter what circumstances are happening around them. In this way, you become unflappable. It's how you foster trust, safety, and innovation at work. It's worth working towards. And you can learn a lot about yourself from each breakdown or failure that happens at work or in life. But also remember that in order to learn, you have to take the sting out of failure. In healthy terms, failure is regarded as a learning experience, not a pretext for punishment. Innovation always involves taking risks, and it is understood that the risk taker will sometimes stumble. You must give yourself and others the space to take risks and fail. Healthy workers stay away from unhealthy responses. So that might have got a little bit deep, but we need to think about it. Okay, let's listen to another of the show's sponsors and we'll come back to get our take five.
Hey, Glow Getters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, thanks for tuning back in. Let's get our take five and kick off our heels. Well, look and listen no further. Here are five things you should do when you hate your job that don't involve storming out of the office and collecting the unemployment benefit. Number one, assess your situation. And it seems obvious, doesn't it? But it's a step that's often overlooked. We all have the tendency to get so wrapped up in how miserable we are that we neglect to determine what exactly is causing that unhappiness. So it's time to ask yourself some hard questions about your current situation. Is it your position that you hate? Or is it your employer? Is there one key piece of your position that puts a sour taste in your mouth? Have you always disliked your job? Now, I know this self-analysis likely isn't the super actionable first step you were hoping for, but these important questions will lay the groundwork for you to attack the next steps with a clear head and focus. Number two, have the tough conversations. So once you've identified what exactly is inspiring your distaste for your position, it's time to have those difficult conversations with the powers to be. Is your workload too overwhelming? Do you feel you're not fairly compensated for the amount of work you do? Is a member on your team not pulling their weight or contributing to your frustration? Talk these out with your supervisor to see if there are any adjustments that can be made. All too often, the employee life cycle looks a little something like this. Mary is hired and settles into a new position. Mary's manager assumes things are going along swimmingly. Eventually, Mary resigns and explains how miserable she's been the entire time. Yes, it is your boss's job to support, supervise, and encourage you, but it's definitely not their duty to read your mind. So if something is making you unhappy, it's up to you to take initiative and speak up. Employers are typically willing to go the extra mile to keep top talent around. So who knows? You and your supervisor could come up with some great solutions to address your problems and increase your happiness. Number three, switch your perspective. Stay positive is another cliche piece of career advice you hear time and time again when you hate your current position. And I'm trying my best to stay away from that same tired sentiment. However, I really do believe that a quick shift in your perspective could make a world of difference to you. When you loathe what you do, it's all too easy to just feel like you're biding time. You're just putting in your hours until you can finally escape that hellhole. However, that sour, negative attitude isn't going to make your life any easier. On the contrary, actually, it'll make things much worse. So instead of looking at each workday as another time slot when you need to pay your dues and slop your way through, approach it as a chance to continue refining your skills and conquer new challenges. After all, what's more challenging than making it through 8 hours at a job you hate? Not much. Number four, vent about it. You know not to rant and rave about how much you hate your job on Facebook. That's definitely not advisable. But that doesn't mean you're not allowed to ever air any grievances about your career. In fact, a little bit of venting can be a good thing for you as long as you're careful about how you do it. So grab a trusted friend and talk through all of your complaints and annoyances. I know, complaining doesn't necessarily fix anything, but you'll likely be surprised at how much better you feel after unloading all of those feelings and frustrations. Number five is do your best work. When you're unhappy, it's easy to fall into the trap of coasting and putting in minimal effort. And I'll admit that it can seem counterintuitive to put your all into something when you don't even like what you're doing. But falling victim to mediocrity will only add fuel to your discontented fire. So push through and continue to churn in high quality work, even if you don't necessarily enjoy what you're doing. Doing a good job with it will definitely help to lift your spirits and boost your confidence a little bit. Plus, if nothing else, at least you can go home each day feeling good about the work you put in that day. That's something. And lastly, here's your safety affirmation. When the tough gets going, the going gets tough. That's it, isn't it? Okay, that's it, guys. I do hope you found the information today helpful and valuable, and it gives you something to action over the weekend. If you feel like you're failing, it's never too late to stop, figure out why, and start taking concrete steps out of the muck, like I said. Understanding why you're failing is the most important first step you can take. You can learn a lot about yourself from each breakdown or failure that happens at work or in life, but also remember that in order to learn, you have to take the sting out of failure. Toughing it out in a job you hate is enough to push anybody to his or her breaking point. And as much as you'd love to box up your workspace and bid adieu to your supervisor, quitting isn't always a realistic option. Fortunately, there are a few other things you can do to make your detested 9-to-5, 8-to-4, 6-to-6 at least a little more tolerable. So give my tips and advice a try and let me know how it goes. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on the episode in the show notes or on my social media pages, either on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Be sure to tune in again next week. Also, reach out to me and follow me on Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury social media pages if you haven't already. And I would really love to hear from you guys. So show some love for Kick-Ass Radio by leaving me a review on BBS Radio Network at bbsradio.com/kickassradio. Or you can send me an email. My email is Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au. And like I said, find me on social media. So that's all for today, folks. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Go crush it. Keep in touch. Poscoms, go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.